Okay, well, Shmuel Aleph, Perek Gimel. We just started the Perek last week. We're actually up to Pasuk Dalet on page 26 in our packets. So the few Pesukim that we saw showed how Shmuel lived in a generation where there was very few Nevi'im for various reasons. Chalki and Pinchas certainly not deserving of Nevuah, prophecy. And now this will be the first opportunity for him to receive Nevuah. And we saw the famous Pasuk in the Pasuk Gimel of an Er Elokim, Terem Yichbeh, which literally means, as some of the Farshim said, it told us the time in which the Nevuah was going to take place. It was during the time in which the menorah was still lit, between the night and the day, so it still hasn't been sunrise yet. Also, the Radak brings down the other concept found in Koheles, actually, that it symbolizes that when a tzaddik dies, Hashem will not take away a tzaddik, or in this case, a Navi, unless he replaces him with someone else of equal stature or comparable stature. Okay. So, Pasuk Dalet. So you can imagine he never heard of any Nevuah before in his life, so the very first one which he's going to hear is going to catch him off guard. Vayikra Hashem el Shmuel v'yomer hineni. So the first time, immediately when he's called, he says hineni, here I am, which we find numerous places by Abraham, elsewhere, that he is ready to do whatever he's required to do.
Just something quick, and I'm sorry because I wasn't here last week, so maybe you could discuss it. Yeah. Apparently, Shmuel was sleeping in the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
There's an issue. According to the Mesudas David in Pasuk Gimel, it says Kodesh HaKadoshim,
right,
which is
right,
kind of
saw, right.
Which is kind of hard to.
Yeah, it tells you shouldn't even sleep in a shul, so he's going to sleep in the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
Right. And we're going to see in Rashi over here that, you know, Eli was a Kohen, mm-hmm. Shmuel was a Levi, right? So right. He had no business being in the Kodesh HaKadoshim at all. So the question is, was he really in the Kodesh? So some people explain that it doesn't necessarily mean he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but he was on such a tremendous madrega. It was like even when he's sleeping, there's Ke'ilu, he's in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which may be a little bit of a stretch. Or it's not necessarily the case that was dafka in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but based on the words of the Pasuk, it says, Asher Sham Aron Elokim, right. Sounds pretty clear, right. That it was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but we really didn't have a great answer to that question.
Valid, certainly. It says here, Makom Asher HaLevim Shochem, so there must be a special place in Levim in that area. See that there? Asher HaLevim Shochem. So not only the Levim, but the special stuff.
Right. Obviously, there's a special place for the Levi and the Kodesh
HaKadoshim.
Yeah. So
that's
one of the. That's.
It wasn't the same spot as the
Kohen. Right. So since we're on this theme, if we look in Rashi, in Pasuk Dalet, the second half thereof, after it quotes the Pasuk in Eiv, it says Eli Hoya Kohen V'Shomer Mibifnim. So it sounds like Eli was on the inner room. V'Shmuel Hoya Levi. V'shoichem mibuchutz. He was on the outside. But kofatz hakol derech Eli l'Shmuel. Eli was no longer deserving of hearing the kol Hashem, the nevuah, and it skipped right over him, even though you would think he should be able to hear it, but it doesn't work that way. And so it went right over Eli to Shmuel. So it says in Masechtas Talmud. All right. Anyway, we're going to see these next few psukim as a cluster, and then we'll go back to them. It's pasuk hey. So v'yaratz el Eli, so he didn't even think it was a nevuah. In fact, the Me'am always says that Hashem purposely made the nevuah, the voice, sound just like Eli, so as not to scare him. So just completely be alarmed. The first nevuah would probably freak you out. So v'yaratz el Eli, so he ran to Eli, thinking it was, of course, his Rebbe that he was speaking, that was summoning him in the middle of the night. Biomer, he said, Hidini, I'm here, ki karasli, because I know you called me. Biomer, so Eli said, what are you talking about? Look, karasli, I never called you. What are you doing here? Shuv shchob, go back to bed. Biyelch v'yishkov. So he did that, he went back to bed. Biyosef, Hashem kar od Shmuel, so Hashem calls him a second time. But again, Shmuel, as the Mefarshim learn, he was such an onav that he didn't want to believe that it was a nevuah. So he did whatever it took to believe that it must have been someone else. But Yochum Shmuel, so Shmuel got up, Vayelech El Eli. This time it's interesting, the Pasuk first said, Vayoratz El Eli in Pasuk Hay. Now he doesn't run. Vayelech El Eli, so you can say, oh, maybe because he has doubts, but if he had doubts, then why is he going to Eli? Some of the Mefarshim say because he was hesitant, because he felt uncomfortable. He woke up his Rebbe once, so he ran there the first time. Now he has doubts, maybe it is Eli, but it's not. So he better err on the side of caution, go to him. But to run, he's a little apprehensive. V'yomer hinni ki karasali, again he says, I'm here to do your bidding. You called me, didn't you? V'yomer, and he said, lo karasi b'ni, I did not call you my child. Shuv shechav. And of course, Eli and Shmuel were not father and son. So it's interesting. The first time, he doesn't call him b'ni. This time, he calls him b'ni. So some of the Mefarshim say, it shows the sensitivity that Eli had. What is that? Because he knew that he obviously didn't want to have to wake him up for no reason. So if you wake up your rabbi once, it was a mistake. The second time already, maybe he was concerned that he was going to have insulted and angered his Rebbe, Eli. Nefri says, B'ni. So he's affectionate to him more. So that's how some of Farshim learn that word. Pasuk Zayin, Shmuel Terem Yodas Hashem. Shmuel Terem, Adayin Lo, has not yet known Hashem. He's never had a Nebuah before. The Terem Yigola Elov Devar Hashem. It's never been revealed to him these words. So that's the reason why he's expecting Eli to be the one that was the one who's calling him, and not Hashem. But nonetheless, the Pasuk says, we'll just see this one more Pasuk, and we'll discuss it in a little bit. Pasuk has, V'yosef Hashem karo Shmuel b'shlishis. A third time, even though of course we can count. For some reason it tells us it's a third time. V'yokom, he gets up. V'yelech el Eli, and he goes to Eli, Yomer hinni. Behold, I'm here, ki karasali, because you called me. And at this point already, maybe the first two times he was having a dream or something, and he made a mistake, Shmuel did. But now, v'yoven Eli, ki Hashem kare lanar. It must be, this is already three times, that he's hearing something. Oh, this is not that he's just hearing things. It must be he's actually getting a prophecy. We're going to see it's quite a nevuah, which we'll see in a moment.
Yeah. Now you said that the first time that Hashem calls to Shmuel, he calls him in the voice of Eli.
That's what it seems.
Because if it would seem that way, then by the second or third time, he wouldn't have to do that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So if that's what may have triggered Shmuel also to go to Eli, then by the time he heard it the second or third time, he shouldn't have heard it. I mean, obviously, it could be that he called them all three times in the voice of Eli, and that's why he went there. But there would have been no need for that.
Right. No, I hear. I mean, this is how the Ma'am Lois feels. This is probably what happened, but it's not 100% that has to be the situation. Now,
how old is Shmuel at this time? Do we know?
Shmuel,
it says not, right?
Yeah, I think we may actually have an idea. I can't remember from the.
Just around moment,
yeah, right? I think so. Around in that range, yeah.
Teenager. I have a question though. Yeah. I'm going to say by Yifrah, the question is this really a boss call, or is it something that he sort of feels, but it's not a specific out loud voice? He hears something, but it may be his. In a sense of hearing it, like he's dreaming that I think I heard that name. I think I heard somebody call me. So I would think that especially at this point in his career when he's still very much young and inexperienced and everything, he's certainly not hearing Hashem, like Moshe Rabbeinu, Panim El Panim. It's,
right.
So it's sort of like a feeling or like a, I don't know how to call it a premonition, but it's like a, it's like he senses it, but I don't know if he actually hears the voice.
Certainly, on the same level of motion, certainly the Nevuah was not. That's the reason why we're going to see the next Pasuk. And that's, in this context, now that Eli knows that it's Shmuel, he says, Lech Shchov, which we're going to see, go to sleep. When we go to sleep, we're about to have a Nevuah. Because that's the only way that on his Madrega, it wasn't on upon him level of of Moshe Rabbeinu, so therefore his nevuah would be on that level.
Right.
So
it's got to be good.
Right. So the Mefarshim bring down from this that we see continuously this inyan that he keeps saying, Hineni, I'm here, Hineni, which Hineni is, as we said before, is a level of being an anav to the point that I'm willing to do your bidding. It doesn't make a difference. Whatever you ask me to do is exactly what I'm going to do. And the godless of Shmuel, how terrific he was on such a tremendous madrega, that he kept saying this three times, is because a normal person, you would be woken up once and a second and a third time. So on one level, he made the mistake that he thought it was alien, he's waking him up. But you would also think, why, after the third time, if maybe it really is Eli, because it can't be that I'm receiving nevuah, and why would you keep saying Hineni ki karasali, as though you are so willing to do whatever Eli wants? And that was the madrega of Shmuel. It didn't make a difference. He woke me up once, twice, three times. He would just keep serving, and it didn't make a difference. That was the great madrega that he was on. And of course, not getting, once you heard from Eli two times that it wasn't him, to think a third time, it has to be Eli. It cannot be Hashem that's giving this nevuah. Obviously, also shows the great madrega that he was on.
I showed a little respect to Eli because you're not allowed to wake up a father. I assume somebody can't either wake up a rebbe. It's the same thing you think.
Right.
So he wants to show that thing.
And then that could also be the reason why initially it says Vayarotz, and then afterwards he's not running because he has that tension. You know, I should wake him up because he called me. It's interesting. If he's sleeping, he just called me and he's sleeping. But nonetheless, that was.
It could also be that it took three of these visits to Eli for Shmuel to understand that Eli wasn't hearing it. Maybe Shmuel understood that he was hearing the voice of Hashem in the Nevuah, and he was going to Eli as his Rebbe to explain to him, what am I hearing over here? Okay, you called me, whatever it is, but tell me what I'm hearing.
Right.
And we know that Eli wasn't hearing it.
That's very good.
He wanted to see if Eli was hearing it also.
Right.
Right. And that, if we look actually toward the bottom of the Radak, the third to last line, it says, Shmuel avado hayishmei hakol, that only Shmuel heard this. The Eli lo hayishmei also, he did not hear it. Yada Eli at that point he knew the haven ki kol handavua haya shakadosh baruch hu mashmiya oso lamishi yirtza. So you're right. That's what sounds like what the doctor is saying, that it wasn't necessarily just for Shmuel's sake of knowing it's a nevuah, but also for Eli to realize that I'm not getting this nevuah anymore. It's now being given over to Shmuel. Okay, let's see the next pasuk. So Vayomer pasuk test Vayomer Eli l'Shmuel. So he says to Shmuel, Lech shchov, go to sleep. Ohaya im yikra elecha v'yamarta daber Hashem. And if it happens to be that Hashem calls out to you, v'yamarta, you should say the following. This is your response to this, the words of Hashem. Daber Hashem, speak Hashem, ki shemea avdecha, because your servant is listening. Those are his five words that he must use. Daber Hashem, ki shemea avdecha, v'yelech Shmuel. So what did Shmuel do? V'yishka bimkomon. He went back to sleep in his place. And the Mesudas David says, again, when this response, im nikro is im Yosef likro od. Maybe he'll call you, maybe he won't call you, maybe that's it. Maybe that, because after all, as you said, maybe the whole inyan is not actually to get a message, an actual of content, but to realize that you are now a Navi. So it doesn't necessarily mean you have to receive any information, but now at least you should know that you're the Navi and not Eli. So maybe that's the reason. And therefore Hashem doesn't even have to come to you and give any more nevuah at all. So that's how it's explained. Other Mefarshim look at this and are actually bewildered that you know for the very first time that you are a Navi. And so what are the instructions? He says, Lech shchov, just go back to bed. And what does he do? He just goes, Mishkav mkomo, he just goes back to sleep. Like nothing happened. You imagine most people, could imagine that Kodesh Baruch was going to speak to you on a chalom. That would probably keep you up, you know. But for Shmuel, some of the person learned that he was on such an unbelievable madrega, as an anav, that to him he's like, Hashem's not going to come back to me. You know, he's not going to. Mishkavim, so he just went back to sleep like nothing was expecting to happen.
Do any of the parshim say anything about the word Mishkomo? The reason I'm asking that is, first of all, it's a little redundant. We could just say by Yishkav. You know, why Mishkomo? And second of all, because I've noticed that a number of places in the Tanakh, when somebody has an experience where they are elevated or perform an act to a spiritual level that's above their usual, after that happens, it says by they go back to Mishkomo. Went back to their place. So they go back to their, so they're going back to their level, you know, after the spiritual thing. Okay. It could be that if it does mean something, then you would say that Shmuel is being particularly acting with Anava, he's particularly humble here, because he's saying, he's telling me it might be in the Bua or this or that. I'm just going back to my normal lowly level of being the servant. Right.
You think maybe once I know that I'm a Novi, so I should.
I think that word is like a buzzword. It means something. It means returning to. As he said, I'm going back to my own level. I'm not up to that.
Right.
I think it means more than that.
Yeah.
It's a transference of power over here. It's been Komo, but now Shmuel is taking over from Komo, from Koeli.
Well, he doesn't say so.
He doesn't say it, but
Komo, I think you would have to mean going back to his level.
I don't know.
Well, maybe he just went back to where the Nevuah came to him three times already.
Right, which means
This is where, then that's why he went to sleep again, because the Nevuah came to him when he was sleeping, and that's why he went to the place where he was sleeping, because that's where it came to him.
Interpreting Bimkomo to mean that, and now he didn't go back to sleep where he usually sleeps, he slept near Ailey. Maybe that's what it's Bimkomo. If you're saying Bimkomo is the object of. You know, it's like a hanging participle there. You don't know who it's referring to. But I would really think that the pshat would have to be that he goes back to his place, to his level.
You're saying is that Bimkomo is that in order to get this Nevuah, it may be totally on the Mukum. It's, you know, it depends where you are and what you're doing.
Kodesh Kodashim.
So maybe only because that is the place where he is, that's the reason why he's going to get the Nevuah, so he has to go dafka to that particular place. But Bimkomo only could have an Indian as well as a Nivus. In fact, there's a Gemara Brachos that says that if a person is Koveya Mokom, a person has a place where they daven every single time, it says that when it comes to their hesped, this is like a bonus. Your hesped, you're allowed to say that this is an Anav. You're an Anav, a Chassid, a Anav, the Talmid of Shal Avram Avinu. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. So the Mefarshim say, why are you an Anav? Because you sit in the same place in Shul. Because when you started in the Shul, or wherever you were in the community, and you were a kid or a teenager, so you're sitting in one seat. But as you've developed and moved up the ranks, then you should be moving, you know, to the head of the class. So the fact that you stay in your place, that's a level of anivus. So maybe that's the word over here, as you're saying, maybe, is that what he's saying is v'yishka bimkomo, that even after he was already ranked as a Navi, he's now a completely different level,
he
still stayed in his place. Maybe. Okay, let's move on. Pasuk Yud. V'yavo Hashem, so as he fell asleep, Hashem came, v'yaseh v'yikra kipam ba'akpipam, and he came and called him Kipam Bipam, as the Masudah Sion translates, Rotzalomer Kamo Bipamim Hakodmim, as he did before, no difference. Shmuel, Shmuel, and he calls him Shmuel, Shmuel, which generally is a Lashon Chiba, is an affectionate language. The Masudah Sion interestingly says a little bit differently. It says the reason why it's kafel, why it's doubled, but Lazaris es Hanikras, in order that he should do it quickly, it's a sense of urgency. So either way, it's interesting why Mr. Sion translates that's why it's said twice, when generally you would think it's a lesson of love. Nonetheless, he calls Shmuel Shmuel, V'yomer Shmuel, what does Shmuel say? Daber ki shaymea avdecha, speak, because after all, your humble servant is here listening to every single one of your words. Now, what's the problem that all the Mepharshim jump on, the Rashi and the Radak? They ask the question that he made a mistake. He was given one simple set of directions by Eli. That when you hear this Nevuah,
he didn't repeat the formula.
What was the formula?
He left out the name of the Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Hashem.
Right. Daber Hashem ki shema avdecha. That's what you should say. So he got most of it right. Daber ki shema avdecha. So Mefarshim say there's no coincidence that he left out the name of Hashem. It can't be that he just left it out because he forgot. So why did he leave it out? So says the Radak as well as Rashi. So the Radak says, and over here the Radak is on, well, it starts on the very bottom over here, and then it goes to the next page, 27. Daber ki shemea avdecha, v'lo omar Hashem, kamosh amar lo Eli. As Eli told him, you're supposed to say Hashem's name. So the Radak says it's on the English side, because the Radak is lengthier. Ki hoi yore dayin mehizkir Hashem, because apparently, as the Radak says, according to this, he was afraid to mention Hashem's name, Bimara Nevuah, with regard to this Nevuah that he was encountering, that he was seeing. Which apparently means that he was so, translated here as awestruck to mention Hashem's name because he was so unfamiliar with having a Nevuah that he couldn't even say Hashem's name. B'yesh bodrash kichshash adayin shema kol sheidhu v'zerachok. Another shot is that he didn't even think it was necessarily Hashem. Maybe it was a shade, maybe it was something else that is giving the appearance of Hashem. But he concludes, Zerachot, that's not necessarily the most simplistic shot.
We're taught that there's an element of shtus, an element of something wrong in every dream. That even in the most important dream, there's something there that's incorrect and wrong. And we're also taught that in the dream, Shadim can come to people, pretend to be somebody else, and mislead them.
Right. It's possible. I mean, it's possible. Obviously, it shows his level, again, of humility. And Rashi doesn't throw in the word shade, but he's a little bit along the same lines. Rashi says in Pasuk, Yud, V'yomer Shmuel Daber, V'lu Hisker, Shem Mokoyim, Kamo Shitzibahu Eli, which is the same question, right? Omer Shem Kol Acherhu. And he doesn't say, well, maybe it's someone else over there. So who else? There's no one else there. It's just him and Eli, and no one else is around. That was Shmuel. So he gives a picture of the type of person that he was. All right.
Well,
so
the word Acher also has a little bit of what you call it, and maybe it's something negative that's
to do. Could be. Right. So it's still maybe similar to what the Radak is saying. He just doesn't want to use that word.
You know, we know that in the Talmud, when we told refer to somebody as Acher, not complimentary.
At least you're the Nevuah. The other one. Okay, it's possible. Possible. But either way, this is why Shmuel doesn't do this. He doesn't want to say Hashem's name, Lubatala, because of there's some chash in his mind. It can't be. It can't be that I'm having
the such an honor that he couldn't believe that Hashem was going to talk to him.
Right. Which is amazing. But obviously it is a Nebuah. Now we're going to see what is this Nebuah. So this is what basically the rest of this parak discusses. And you can imagine the first Nebuah you want to give, he's a rookie, so you give him a small little Nevuah, nothing too significant, nothing too difficult to relay to another person. Unfortunately, the very first Nevuah that Shmuel gets is a doozy. V'yomer Hashem el Shmuel, hini anochi oiseh davar miYisrael. So this is the Nevuah in which Hashem says over to Shmuel, he says that I'm going to do such a thing, oiseh davar, something to Yisrael, it doesn't specify, as your kol shamo, anyone who hears these things that are going to occur, or this thing that's going to happen, tatzilena shte oznav, their ears, both of their ears are going to ring, as though they're not going to believe that the terrible thing that's going to what's happening. So one thing, what is that? Probably Eli's going to die. Probably Eli's children are going to die in battle. But that's not what the Mefarshim say. It doesn't say what this terrible thing is, but it says whatever. This is going to be some. Oh, there's going to be a davar of Yisrael, some matter in Yisrael. So Rashi says as follows: the pasuk Yud Aleph, and the Radak we'll see also is going to be similar. Also, davar he lekichas Aaron biad plishtim. Right? What's going to happen? The holy Aaron is going to be taken away from the plishtim. The plishtim are going to take away the Aaron, which is what will happen in this battle. So that's the terrible thing that people are going to hear, that they'll be so devastated. And Radak is pretty similar to this. This is a ghost Aaron. The Aaron is going to be exiled. It's going to be taken away. So that's the terrible news that people's ears are going to be ringing upon hearing such information. Pasuk Yud Bet, B'yomahu, and on that day, Alkim El Eli, Iskol Asher Dibarti El Basi, Hochel V'Kali. So it says on this today I'm going to be Mekayim, I'm going to fulfill all of these words which I've spoken regarding the house of Eli, Hachel v'kale, beginning to destroy. Hachel v'kale. So Rashi says, what does that mean, beginning to destroy? So you can get the idea of what this is. So Rashi says, Oso hayom, on that day, Tischil gizarti al beis Eli, the day in which the Aron will be taken away from Klal Yisrael by the Plishtim, will be the same day there'll be a gezer upon the house of Eli. Shiamusu chachni ufinchas, that his sons are going to die. Mekan v'elech, from that time on, echo gizarti, I'm going to begin this gezer. V'ashlim aleihem midor el dor, and it's going to be something which is going to continue from generation to the next generation. L'hamisa manoshim b'nei shmone esrei shana. That how old will Eli's children die? Eli's children, all of their descendants, are going to die at the young age of 18. Why 18? It's a good question. We'll maybe discuss that in a few moments. But nonetheless, that's what Rashi says. And Mesudas David over here in Pasuk Yud-Bet says similarly. The time of the Aron is going to be taken away. Yaskil haparanios, and the problems are going to happen for them. Kiamusu shne b'nei bana b'mulchama hahi, that his children is going to die at war. So again, this is what's going to happen. A lot of terrible things are going to happen, and that will be the sign. That will be siman for Eli to know that it's going to be a downfall for his children. Ultimately, he's going to die at that time as well, just not on the battlefield. Pasuk Yud-Gimel. V'hi gadtilo, and I have told him, ki shoyfet ani esbeso ad oilum, that I am going to be the judge over his house, I'm going to execute judgment upon his house ad olum, forever, which seems a little bit harsh, but nonetheless, ba'avoy nasher yada, with regard to the sin which he knew about, ki mikalim lohem, because they cursed themselves, banav v'lo, with regard to his children, v'lokihabam, and that he did not properly censor them. He didn't give them tochacha. He didn't rebuke them as much as he could have. And Rashi says here in Pasuk Gimel, v'lokeos loikom pneihem l'haviram gedulasam. Not that he didn't rebuke them, but Eli had the capacity to actually remove them from their position of being Kohanim and Shiloh, and he just allowed them to continue in the position even though they weren't worthy to really stay in such a position. Mesudas David says, what does this mean? So Pasuk Yud Gimel on the top, Avon, but Avor HaAvon Asher Yoda, with regard to this aver which was known, Ma Shibana Makilun Boiz and Kavodi, that there were Mavaza, the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will micha behem kiro'oi. Not that he didn't protest, but it wasn't kiro'oi, it wasn't done properly. He wasn't effective, he didn't do it maybe when he could have had more control over them at a younger age. He rebuked them at a much later age, and maybe when it was already a little too late. And the Radak over here says, when it says, kimikali mohem bonav tikun sofrim. Tikun sofrim means it's an amendation of the scribes. Kilo rotza loimer lokel yisbarach. In other words, what it says, the literal meaning that they cursed themselves, or they blasphemed themselves, it really means that they cursed Hashem. But they don't want to write it in such a way because it would be such a devastating, even to write such words against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's written in this fashion. So, or, alternatively, the English says in the bottom of 28, it says, with regard to his sons that were blaspheming themselves, in the literal sense of the phrase, Hophni and Pinchas brought the curses of the people upon themselves by their behavior. Or through Al-Bag, or possibly that they brought Hashem's curse upon themselves. So, not necessarily that they cursed themselves, but their actions caused the Kalala, and therefore, ultimately, indirectly, they were cursed. Pasuk Yud-Dal. Pretty heavy stuff. V'lochein nishbati leveis Eli, and therefore I've given a shvuah, I've sworn with regard to the house of Eli. Im yischaper avoin beis Eli bezevach v'mincha ad oilu. That I've made the shvuah with regard to the house of Eli, that there will not be a kapara in the house of Eli with regard to the zavach mincha, which means that there will ad oilam ever. There will be ineffective in bringing any karbanos as a form of kapara. They cannot bring karbanos; it's not going to mean anything. So why not? Don't karbanos generally help if a person does an aveir, you bring a chatas, you bring an asham? So the Mesudas David says logically why it would be ineffective. The Mesudas David says in Pasuk Gedalid, "Bezevach of a mincha ki ein kategor nasa senega." The famous expression that you have a defendant and a prosecutor, you don't want both of them to be doing both jobs. You can't have one doing the other. If your prosecutor cannot become your defender, what does that mean? It says the Mesudas David, al ki chatam hoya b'daber her karbanos. Ulam b'tshuva yichaper avin. Tshuva may help. However, when it comes to karbanos, since the whole chet, the reason their whole downfall was the way that they acted with regard to the bringing of the karbanos, therefore it's not shayach for them to receive any form of kapara through the bringing of karbanos. That's what the pasuk says.
Mita keneged mita. They did improper things with the karbanot, and therefore the karbanot will not behave properly for them.
Right. And that, I mean, we find this expression continuously. Probably most famous is by the Kohen Gadol, the big day Zahav, to enter to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where Kodesh Baruch is going to look at the gold and be reminded of the Egel HaZahav. So therefore, the same idea. We find this expression in Kategor Nasa Snega in numerous places. All right, and the Pasuk Yudalid, moving forward in the Radak says, B'zevach l'mincha, very interesting, Radak, at least the second half, well, both, but the second half especially. L'fi shehoyu heim kohanim makrivim zevach l'mincha imerkein, klor m'loi soyil l'hem, kunasim afanai. Similar to what the Mesudas David says, that since these are kohanim, and you would think that they would effectively be able to now bring these karbanos, that's the reason why it's saying that they are unable to do so. Skipping a line, Rabbi Seinom, Zichronim Levracha Darshu, that it says in Rosh Hashanah, Bezevach of a Mincha Hudul Yisraper, that the Pasuk only says that they cannot receive any form of kapara by bringing these various karbanos. That's when it's not going to be Mechaper. Rabbi Yisraper, B'Talmud Torah, B'Gemilz Chasadim. However, they're engaged in Talmud Torah, or they're hospitable and kind individuals, then those actions, Talmud Torah and Gemilz Chasadim, will be a form of kapara. Because sure, that's what the Pasuk says. Right, that's kind of what the Mesudas David said, that Ulam B'Tshuva, however, Tshuva will be Mechap Rabbi. So it's the same thing. Torah and Gemilz Chasadim have this effect. So even though you can't bring karbanos, Torah and Gemilz Chasadim. Umehem Omru, and here the Medrash Shmuel says, Avol Meschaper B'Tfila. So Tfila also, they could be Mespalil, and Tfila helps, but karbanos won't help. Learning Torah Basmada, that helps, as well as Gemilz Chasadim, that helps as well, but nothing. Not the giving of the karbanos anymore, as we said, Mida Kenegi Mida, whatnot. So, based on this, we said last week, there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, of, because this klala, it's an interesting, it's a klala, which is not just for Eli, but all of his descendants, ad oilam, and in fact, the Arizal asked the Kashan, the famous Stira, that on one hand, the Pasuk says, poikid oven obos obonim, that Hashem will not only punish you, but also your children, your descendants. Yet, elsewhere it says, ish b'chetu yumos, that only you will get punished. So the Arizal is mechalik between averes which are b'shogeg and b'mezid. So if it's b'shogeg, which is not really part of me, so it only, I'll get the punishment, but it's only going to affect me, it's not going to affect my descendants. An aver which is b'mezid, which Chafni Pinchas did, in which means that you did an aver b'mezid, which becomes part of you, it's inbred in your own DNA, so it's going to affect not only you, but also your descendants. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that there was a maisa between Abai and Rava. And Abai and Rava happened to be descendants of Eli. How do they know that? I don't know, but that's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara says that Rava was Osek in Torah, as of course we know. So Rava, even though you're supposed to died 18, is what we saw in Chazal already. Rava was Zoycha to live until 40 years old. Abaye, this is a hard line to understand, he was Osek in Torah and Gemilz Chasadim, he lived 60, until 60. That's to say Rava wasn't Osek in Gemilz Chasadim, I wouldn't be so quick to say. But that's what the Lashon of Chazal, that Rava and Abaye, they should have died at 18. Rava was zeichet to live until 40 because of Torah, and Abaye until 60 because he was also engaged in Gemilas Chassadim. So he says that that's the greatness of Torah and Gemilas Chassadim, but on the other hand, we see Kamenor Oven Chil Hashem Ubizayin HaKadoshim. If a person is Mezalzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu and creates a Chil Hashem, so not only does it affect you, but it affects all your descendants, even great, the great tzaddikim such as Abaye the Rava.
Yeah, I just realized, you know how we know that they descended from Eli?
Yeah, go ahead.
Halach is like Abaye all the time, except Yal Kedam.
Yal Kedam.
Yeah. Yal. Eli.
Very good, very good. That's very nice. Yal, Yud Ayin Lamed. Okay. So, there's a Gemara, there's also a Pasuk, the famous Rashi and the famous Pasuk in Parshas Emor, which Emor v'Amarta, right? It says it twice. The question is, why does it say Emor v'Amarta? So, and it's talking about Karbonos and talking about the Kahuna. So Rashi says, V'lahazir gedoylim al katanim, right? V'lahazir gedoylim al katanim. So we see, what does that mean? So it's based on what we're saying over here, that gedolim, that the adults have a chiyuv to give proper tochacha to their child, that they're doing proper, especially in the kahuna, because of the tremendous bizoyin if it's not done properly. And we see from this is the goof of what happened, that Eli, who did not properly rebuke, and therefore because of this, what ended up happening, not only did he get punished, but as well the future generations. Now, the question is, so why, for example, did Rava live until he was 40 years old? So it's an interesting word over here. He says that really, Rava should have died at 18, but he lived until he was 40. What's the pshat? How many extra years did he live? 22. So what's the Indian of that? He says, "Ki ha'isifu lo chaf beis shanim keneged chaf beis osios ha'tayra." Since he was Isaac and Talmud Torah, which is composed of course, other things are also have 22 words. All the Hebrew language is 22 words, the letters. But since Torah, which represents the 22 letters of elevating those letters to the highest madrega, therefore he was zeichet an extra 22 years to be able to live until he was 40. And fine. And furthermore, it says like this. So how about talking about Gemilas Chassadim? So why did Abaye? Why was he zeichet to live until he was 60? So it's brought down in the Sefer Ber Moshe. He says the Indian of Gemilas Chassadim. Why is this mechaper? Why is it that karbanos aren't mechaper? Why is it that you'll still die at 18? But for some reason, when it comes to Gemilas Chassadim, then all of a sudden everything is going to be fine. He says because the Indian of Gemilas Chassadim, you do chesed. Why am I doing chesed for you? Do you deserve that chesed? No, I'm doing something which is lifnim mishur sedin. He explains because taka, you don't deserve it, but I'm giving it to you anyway. I'm giving you whatever I'm giving you. That's chesed. So therefore, me'ikr hadin, midas hadin, if you're a descendant of Eli, you deserve to die at 18. However, if you are engaged in gemilas chassadim, in which you no longer follow the letter of the law, but rather you do things which are lifnim mishur sedin, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, midah keneged midah, is also going to
go beyond
as well. Finally, we also saw in the words of the Radak that it's not just Gemilas Chassadim, but it's also Tefillah, right? That Tefillah also has this koyach to be able to be mechaper. So, and he explains that, he says as follows, what's the Indian? I'll skip that story, and we'll move on. He says, V'kavana sh'atfila yosef gedolim in a karbanos. Why is it that Tefillah is gedolim Gedoyim and Karbanos, obviously that's what we're saying here. Shehi Shvichas Hadam v'hanefesh mamish lifnei Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kamo shekashav v'eshvoy ches nafshi lifnei Hashem. So the Indian of a Karban is I bring a Karban. It's not that I bring a Karban and all my sins are going to that animal. But the Indian is I look at that Karban and I say that just as it's being slaughtered and the blood is being poured, that's something which I deserve because of the avers that I've committed. And therefore, that'll be hopefully inspire you to do tshuva. So, a greater madrega than carbon is for you to be able to actually feel it and sense it within, because you can bring a carbon and not sense it. However, if a person pours their soul and their heart out, it's just like it's greater than, or it's the, effectively, that's really the whole purpose of bringing karbonos to begin with. And therefore, even though karbonos, as the pasuk says, im yischaper avoin beis eli b'zevach u'mincha, nonetheless, said the, brought down the Radak, that if a person is engaged in tefillah with kavana, then in fact you will be mechab. Okay, let's move on. Pasuk tes vav. Vayishkav Shmuel ad ha-boker, so Shmuel had this nevuah, and what did he do? So again, you'd normally have the nevuah, you'd wake up and you'd tell everyone. He went to sleep. He stayed sleeping until the morning. Vayiftaches dalseis beis Hashem, and he started opening up the doors, which apparently was the normal routine. Shmuel yorei mahagid es hamara el eli. Understandably so, he was afraid and concerned about relaying this information. So the Masudas David, we'll see the Radak, which basically says the same thing. Pasuk Tesvav explains this idea. V'yiftach, he opened up these doors. Kolomer kama boker, he got up in the morning. Pasuk Losu Beis Hashem kemin hago, he did exactly as he always did. V'holach el eli bikomo l'saper l'hamara ki yorim mahagilo. He was afraid to have to say. So it makes sense. He just didn't want to have to do so. It's brought down in English over here at Shayach to say that maybe Hashem didn't actually require him to actually say over the Nebuah. He was not told, say this Nebuah over to Eli. This is just information for you to know. Because otherwise, there's a huge problem. Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that a person cannot be, as we find by Yonah, what did Yonah do? He was Koyevesh Nebuahso. You're not allowed to be Koyevesh Nebuahso. You're told in the Nebuah you're supposed to say it. So the Shaila is, how was he allowed to do such a thing? So it's possible that, again, some of the Farshim feel that maybe he wasn't even told to have to relay it over to Eli. But once he's being pushed into a corner and forced by Eli to relay over that information, therefore he only at that time does so. So that's how some people, or Masvir, explain that this Indian.
The question is, why didn't he order himself? Why didn't he? Maybe they would have done Shuvah.
This was the question is, well, this was a Gezerah, so why couldn't he still do Shuvah? Apparently, he maybe could have done some level of Shuvah for it to have been erased. But this is what is destined to happen to him if things remain status quo. Possibly. Or, once this was a Gezerah, which one of the more difficult psukim, which we saw in the last parak, that basically Elkanah said that, you know, Hashem is not going to accept your tshuva, that there's, on a certain level, just like by Paro, that it just, Hashem says, it's too late, which is a hard thing to understand. Is it really too late? But nonetheless, that's how some people explain. Alright. So that was pasuk tes vav. We move on to pasuk tes ayin. We'll go fast. Vayikra Eli es Shmuel. So Eli saw that, you know, obviously he knew that he had a nevuah because he was woken up a whole bunch of times. So he went up to Shmuel. V'yomer Shmuel b'di. And again, he uses this affectionate lashon. Again, Shmuel, my son. V'yomer Hineni. Again, it doesn't make a difference. I'm a Navi now. I'm still Hineni. I'm still your servant. I'm willing to do whatever you want, Eli Yomer. So he said, Mahadavar Sher Deba Elecha. What exactly were you told? Al-Natikachein Mimeni. Al-Natikachein Mesudasiyam is in Nia. Don't hold back anything from me. Ko Yasel Chalokim V'cho Yosef Im Tikachein Mimeni Davar. So this is what Hashem will do. He should continue to do so, which is a klala he's giving. If you withhold anything from me, tachlim b'mini davar, mikol hadavar asher diber lech, whatever you were told, you must relay to me. Vayaged lo Shmuel as kol hadavar. So because of this lovely klala that Shmuel has given, he said, all right, I'll tell you whatever I was told. You're not going to like it, but you insist. V'lo kichid b'menu. He didn't withhold anything from him. V'yomar Hashem hu hatov einav Yaseh. Vayomer, and he said, Vayomer, he said, Hashem hu atov, Hashem's good, whatever's good in Hashem's eyes, this is what will be done. So,
who said that? Shmuel or
sounds like Eli. Yeah, sounds like Eli. Yeah, that's how this is how it's translated. Eli said, he is Hashem, he will do that, what he sees good in his eyes. So he's makabel this nevuah, right? So pasuk yud ches in the Masudas David says as follows: Masudas David in pasuk yud ches v'lokacheda fil davar echad. He didn't withhold anything, which means he told him all this information. So it's very good, because there was a terrible klal. The klal was, if you don't tell me everything, something, whatever is going to happen to me, which my children are going to go bad, so too your children will probably become Rishoyim, will go bad. So therefore, what is he going to do? He wants to say everything, so this klal is not going to come about. Says Rashi, starting with Rashi in Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, "Ko yasel ko'isa klal atzma." Just whatever klal happened, the klal that you heard, it should happen to you. Shloya halucha banim hugoinim, v'chein altalo. It happened to me. The amal pi shehigdol. Even though that Shmuel said everything, this klal still came about that he did not have banim hugoinim. He didn't have proper children. Why not? Says Rashi pasuk yuches, "Mikan amru." We learn out from here. The Gemara Makkah says, "Klalos chacham." Nafil al Tanai he bought. And when it comes to a chacham such as Eli, he gives a klal, even if it's al Tanai, it's going to happen. So even though he said everything,
he had this already with the Moshe with the
what?
With Yisrael.
What do you mean with Yisrael?
Yisrael wouldn't let Moshe marry Tzipora,
yeah,
unless he promised al Tanai that the firstborn would be Kumar Lavanzara.
Oh.
So it turns out that one of Moshe Rabbeinu's grandsons was Kumar Lavanzara.
And what was the other?
We just learned that.
Yeah, what?
Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Mechani nami sifakan," and even though it was al tnai, and even though the tnai didn't materialize,
right,
the extent it happened, that his name was not in one parsha.
Right. That's how the Bala term interprets that.
He had the same parsha situation with Avraham and Ephraim.
Yeah.
Ephraim he only sold in the Marsha Pela tnai. That Avram's descendants will not chase the Goyim out of Yerushalayim.
Oh, right.
And you see today, we can't get rid of them.
Oh.
We got all our own deals.
Huh? Well, that was supposed to be for, that was
supposed to be three generations.
Time limited thing.
It was only supposed to be three generations.
Somebody lived a very long life, so it didn't come about until the time.
So David the Melech went ahead and chased them out, so how come? So in the first place, because that show was only good for 1,000 years.
Right. Yeah, that's it. We're going to see that in Shmuel Bet, that was the first thing that David does when he becomes Melech, is that he wishes to
come to
Yerushalayim.
And that was their time.
What can I say? All right, let's finish up this parak. Pasuk Yud Tes. Vayigdal Shmuel. Right, so Vayigdal Shmuel, so Shmuel got big. Hashem Haya Imo, Hashem was with him, Elo Hipil Mikol Dabar Arza. There was nothing which fell, right? Translate here is, he did not cast any of his words to the ground. Okay? Radak says, the Pasuk Yud Tes, what does this mean? So the Radak says, Kol Ma Shehoy Omer Hoyaba. Whatever was said is what came about. Everything came about, even if it wasn't through a nebuah. So once everything that he was told, which he relayed, even if it wasn't necessarily heard as a nebuah, but whatever he said is what happened, so that gave more credence to what he said. So everyone knew the greatness of Shmuel, that certainly now he was a Navi, says Rashi, Kinigla Hashem, El Shmuel, and this is also the Masudas David, in contrast to the beginning of our parak, with Yishyom Lamal of the Bar Hashem, Haya Yakar B'yamim, Bahaim, and Yakar means very scarce, that there was not a lot of Navua, but Omer Khan, Hashem began to provide a tremendous amount of nevuah, more than any time before. So one last thought that will stop is that you'll notice that it's interesting what he said, what Eli said. He said, "Hatov be'enav ya'asen." There's a difference between the kri and the ksiv. And what is this inyan about what's good in be'eno or be'enav? Be'eno means in your eye. Be'enav means in your eyes. So the Mesudas, the Mishpatot Zahav brings down this idea, is that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has actually brought down the Shlach HaKadosh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially wanted to judge the world, create the world, that it should only function on Midas HaDin. And then afterwards, once he saw that it was not shayach for us to be able to live in such a world, therefore he tempered it with Midas HaRachamim. And therefore, he says the symbolism of this is that of the eyes, is that one eye would represent Midas HaDin, and having two eyes is that you're able to balance both things, Midas HaDin and Midas HaRachamim. So when you have both eyes, you can see two things, but it's the connection between the two, or the Midas HaDin and Midas HaRachamim. And therefore...
We learned that about Bilam.
Bilam
was blind. Num HaGeber Stum HaAyin.
Yeah.
And he said that was a punishment that he got because he chose to look at, they usually say that the right eye sees good and the left eye sees bad, just like when you're going to grab somebody and help them, you put out your right hand, when you're pushing them away, you push
right.
them away with your left hand.
Mm-hmm.
But Bilam chose, well, during his nevuah, when he attempted his attempts to curse Bnei Israel, purposely closed his right eye and only looked with his left eye so he should only see the bad. So his punishment was that one eye became blind.
Right. Yeah, that's the same idea over here. Not that Eli was blind in one eye, even though it does say that he was, his eyes were dim, which
yeah.
is a whole other vort. But the symbolism of why he says Hatol be'eino and be'einav is the be'eino is the Indian of Midas HaDin, that he felt that Hashem was only looking at him with one eye, and therefore that it's possible that, you know, I'm being punished in an unfair manner. But the way we read it is be'einav. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is always judging with Midas HaRachamim. That even though maybe we think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only looking at us be'eino, the Tak is be'einav, that he's using both eyes.
I don't know if there's anything on Malos Kosh, any of the portion, but when you might think that Eli, when he hears something like this, that in the back of his mind certainly is, how do I get out of this?
Right.
That when he says the Tov Be'eino instead of Be'enav, maybe he's saying, you know what, God's going to do what's good in his good eye.
Right.
He said all this is Midat HaDin, but ultimately he's going to do what's good in the Midat HaRachamim.
That could be Hatov Be'eino.
Right.
Right.
Tov.
Right. That's what it says. So it's Tov. Maybe it's the Dafka. Okay. Shkayach.